Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I went to the gas station, and I was going to buy a scratch ticket, but the only one they had left was a mile long. So I scratched all of it off, and I won $1.
Wow, that took a lot of effort.
And that's the Stranger Still. What's up, man? Guess who's sick again?
So you're sick this time?
I'm sick. You kind of sound kind of sick, too.
Hold on. I'm actually fine. I'm pretty good. Yeah, I was just a little nasally.
Oh, that's weird.
No, actually, I've been working out. That's why I sound sexier.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You've been working out your vocal cords?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah? Well,
push up here.
La 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 la.
There, you know?
Yeah.
How are you sick?
Exercise jokes. I don't know. My nose is just like a faucet, and it's not true.
Why don't we have a cure for the common cold?
Well, go listen to our other episode.
Of what?
Of Stranger Still.
I'm John Vegan.
I'm Nick Wood.
And we answer questions that you never thought to ask.
And this week, it's a little bit of a random topic, which is good. But for Easter every year, my mom gets us scratch tickets and puts them in eggs. And
a little bit
and find them.
Of a random topic.
And you got lucky on this one.
Wow. Okay. Well, take that hole.
So every year my mom gets us scratch tickets, and I've never won anything more than $1. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I have some $1 tickets that were scratched off upstairs from like 2 years ago, which you can no longer redeem. I think you have to redeem them within 30 days.
Wow.
Which I don't know how they know. Anyway, this year I won.
Whoa.
I won $22.
Wow.
Yeah. So as I was going to cash them in, I walked up to the counter and I was like, I have no idea how to redeem these.
You might as well have won every single year since you were 4 years old or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I walked up and I was like, I don't know how to redeem these. And then I realized I don't know anything about scratch tickets, and I want to know stuff about scratch tickets, so I thought we'd make it today's topic.
Cool. Well, I bet you there are tens of people who are thrilled about scratch tickets until you make it interesting.
Hey, scratch tickets are really cool.
Okay.
Do you know what scratch tickets are?
I do.
Can you explain them to me?
Yeah. A company has a lot of money,
uh-huh,
and they say, I want more money. Print the tickets, Rickard.
His name Rickard?
Is Rickard? It's a surname. So he goes, he prints them out, sells them to people, you buy them, and then if you get the magic one, the winning magic scratcher,
uh-huh,
you get a little bit of that big pile of money. Yeah.
Well, you know what I've got today?
Uh-oh, this
I've
is real.
We got our own scratch tickets.
You bought them?
Yeah, I bought us some scratch tickets so that we can have props throughout the show, and then
This is going to be such good ASMR work.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Be so
and then
peaceful.
After the break, after we talk about everything, we can scratch them off on the air.
What a genuine surprise and tension building.
I know. It's going to be exciting.
Build that story.
Maybe we've got the big winners. We've got, what is this one? This one is 7 is a Blast.
Yeah.
And the other one is called Super Crossword. And we both have one of each. And they were $5 a piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
You spent a lot.
Well, I'll tell you why I spent $5 a piece later. But what we have in front of us are, some might call them scratch tickets, some call them instant win lottery tickets. They are little pieces of paper or cardboard or whatever you want to call it that are printed for the state. It's not some company that just prints these all off. They're printed as a way to generate revenue back to the state while also stimulating the economy, which is how they put it, through funneling that money back out to the players.
Oh, like a trickle-down economics
game. Yeah, that always works out. Trumped up, trickle down. Remember that? That took off. Anyway, in specific terms, they're these little cardboard cards with like little waxy, I don't know, filaments or whatever you want to call it that you scratch off with like a quarter or your nail or, I don't know, I've used like every year we get these for Easter, and we never have quarters handy.
Oh, you always use your fingernail.
We always use the plastic eggs. Because we get them every year. We never think ahead. Like, maybe we should grab some quarters ahead of time. No, we're just stupid.
But then why does Bert go to your, like...
Hey, Ernie.
What he is? Or is that like a weird Kermit?
No, well, I can... they all sound the same because they're all Jim Henson or Frank Oz. So it was like four people doing voices, so they all sound very similar.
Yeah, that's puppetist, dude.
Yeah, well, I said it. It's out there in the open, okay?
Freedom of speech.
Deal with it, Muppets.
Wow.
So yeah,
I didn't think you'd use that strong a word.
So then you scratch these off, and you lose whatever money you spent on them.
What percentage of the time? 99.999?
You know, I will get to that later as well.
Okay.
So, would you be surprised to know that scratch tickets were actually originally free?
Yeah.
They just handed them out like candy.
I would be surprised to know that.
Yeah. Since they're so expensive now, like, I spent $20 on four tickets, and the $2 ones never win, although I won $20 on one last week. But they started out in the 60s as these little cards that grocery stores would hand out to their customers. And they were these really, they gave out super small prizes, like half pennies worth of prizes. And as capitalism works, some dudes looked at it. Some dudes named John Koza and Dan Bowers looked at it and said, let's make it bigger and let's make more money off of it. That's Donald Trump. I got the hands.
Yeah, the hands look great. The voice it's getting there.
It's getting there.
You need more of a New York accent. But stupider. And a little bit. That's only Bernie.
You only do Bernie.
I can only go back to Bernie Sanders. I'm so sorry.
Tell me about free college tuition for my daughter.
What's her name?
Rory.
Rory. This is Bernie Sanders. Listen, when you grow up, you're going to need to remember to pack a gas mask. Things are going to be different.
Oxygen's not free.
Oxygen doesn't grow on trees. Okay, it does. But let me get into the science.
So... much of the things that I'm working off of here are from an article from the New York Times, and they pointed out that the first obstacle that these guys encountered was that the grocery store was printing these off themselves, and they would do like 200 at a time. And the problem with that is you could get like all 200 in a room together, study them, and either like the designs or the serial number would give away the winning card. Mm-hmm. Like if you looked at them long enough, you could say, that's the winning card based on this information. So instead of coming up with a way to completely randomize it, they decided to print 250,000 tickets all at one time.
Oh, okay, yeah. That seems like, this is too complicated. Let's simplify
things.
Let's
just make it bigger.
And do a lot more.
Yeah, so their idea was that it'd be hard to get them all in a room and study them and then figure out, like, crack the code and figure out which ones.
So the reason that they upped the number was because the room wouldn't be big enough?
Right.
Cool.
It was directly proportional to the sizes of rooms at that time. Mm. They took their idea to the Lottery Commission of Massachusetts and proposed it to them as, like, hey, we can make money for your state and also we can get a crap ton of cash off of this. And the rest is sort of history. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them around today and everyone wouldn't know what a scratch ticket is if they didn't take off like gangbusters, which I don't know where that phrase comes from, and I'm sure it's really
you never saw Gangbusters. Oh my god, that movie, it wasn't like it wasn't so good when it first came out, but then it just kind of took off. What would it be, who'd start in Gangbusters? Would that be a Bill Murray?
I was taking a drink in the middle of that and I almost choked.
Yeah, good.
Bill Murray. And
I want you to feel like you're close to death when you're at your most joyful. Yeah, you know what, that's how you feel
happy
sometimes, right?
Yeah.
That's what life's about. Go on.
Koza and Bauer's idea first went on sale in 1974, and people flooded to the supermarkets to get these by the fistful. And eventually, it became sort of a tourist attraction, because Massachusetts was the only state doing this at the time, until other states started to see how much money it made, and they started doing it as well.
What year is that?
1974.
Yay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really recent.
Yeah.
I honestly would have thought it was a lot farther back than that. But the thing that really surprised me, though, is that Koza and Bauer's method is pretty much what we still do today. Instead of, like, we have all these advancements in technology that we could use to, like, completely randomize it. And so it's, like, triple blind. Like, the lottery people put in a bunch of numbers and they say, we want this many winning tickets, print them. And they don't know which one they are. And the people printing them, they don't know what they are. So nobody knows which tickets are the winning ones. Mm-hmm. But no, the people printing them have a set, like, design or serial number that they print the winning tickets on, and they just print big batches of them all at once, so people have a hard time cracking them.
Huh. Weird. Okay. And that's decided by, like, not complicated machines?
I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously they probably use computers to design them and attach serial numbers and blah, 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 but, like, they don't... Like, there'd be ways to completely randomize it, but they don't.
Yeah. So, like, does that mean they get to choose where they go?
No, actually.
Okay.
So we'll get to that, because part of the other reason I came up with this idea for an episode was that we got the scratch tickets, and my brother Drew, I'm going to put him on blast for, like, the 90th time, and say that when we got them, he said, "Did you know that they put more winning tickets in poorer neighborhoods?" And I was like, okay. And I just tucked that one away because I didn't believe him. Spoilers, it's not true, but we'll come back to it.
Okay.
which is... It's yeah, anyway, they still print them in large numbers, and the New York Times article actually interviewed a statistician that cracked a Canadian scratch ticket back in 2003 by looking at patterns in the ticket numbers. And back then, it was probably like a serial number thing. It probably wasn't the specific design, because I think the way that they do many of it, like these crossword ones have certain words on these, and there's only so many combinations of the words. So if you come across one that won before and it's in the same configuration, you know that one's going to be a winning ticket. But I'm not as smart as them. So the New York Times asked them, "Do you believe that there are tickets on sale right now that can be easily cracked?" And they answered, "Yes, I do. Of course, now it's a needle in a haystack problem. The companies that print the tickets feel like good luck finding the big winners. There are millions of tickets out there, and the top 10 prize winners could be anywhere at any store or gas station in the country." So they don't really care. They just assume that they're going to be spread out, and it's going to be impossible to track them down and find the winning tickets. Should we learn about how they're made? Because that's the other thing that I was always really curious about.
It has to be two printers.
Well, what do you think? You tell me the process here real fast.
Okay, so first you open up MS Paint.
Uh-huh.
And you find the biggest emoji you can
of
like a number.
Off of Google.
And you just copy and paste. You have to come up with a really original name, like 7 is a blast or super crossword. Something like, you know, that's really going to stand out amongst the thousands and millions of others. And then you print it. And then you print that silver metallic stuff on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing you use on like waxy soda cans or something.
Yeah. What waxy soda cans?
Or maybe they take a bunch of, like, what do you call it? Hershey Kiss wrappers and grind them down?
They lay them carefully on top.
Or when you're done, if you, like, yep.
Well, despite us not changing the process of randomizing these, the technology has come quite a long way since 1974. Because back then, there's, like, little thin slips of paper covered in wax. Like, this feels waxy, but it was literally just wax, and it could be dissolved with butter, I think it said.
Oh, there were probably some cool, like, old-school ways that people used to do fraudulent...
Well, absolutely. Like, it was really easy to copy them back then, and the other problem is that you could see through them. You could hold them up to the light, and you could see through them. So, turn on that light right there. If you hold that up, can you see behind the scratch areas?
No.
Can you see any information that would give away if it's a winning ticket?
Not even a little bit.
Isn't that crazy? It's like perfect black.
I wasn't sure where to scratch. Now I know where.
Well, yeah, it's very clear to see. You can see the scratchy parts because it shines through the paper, but you can't see any of the information underneath that. That's because at the very bottom you have this like cardboard or paper card. It's really thick paper or really thin cardboard. I don't know what you want to call it. And on the very top you have... Are you making Foley sounds?
Yeah, this is what it sounds like.
In case you don't know what... Yeah. So on the very top, you've got what's called an overprint layer, and that's what has like all the scratch here graphics and all that sort of thing. They just print that right on top, and it's made of a water-based material that's environmentally friendly and easily scratched off.
It actually looks like a second layer, which I've never noticed before.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a shininess, and then there's like a matte finish on top of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the water-soluble stuff. Sometimes it's made out of like alloys or really weak metals and stuff like that. And underneath that top layer, that overprint layer, there's 5 layers meant to thwart cheaters. Because right underneath that is a concealing coat, which is made of some sort of opaque material that you can't see through. So it'd be like your Hershey's Kiss layer.
Yep.
And then right below that is a confusion pattern where they print like a bunch of random words overlapping each other or symbols overlapping each other. So even if you could see through that concealing layer, there's still a bunch of stuff that would make it hard to see what's under that.
Yeah. So if you were able to get like a laser and get one layer at a time, you'd see a bunch of random letters on every scratch off. That's cool.
And then right below that one is a sealing layer that seals everything that's coming next so that you don't scratch off what's underneath that. Because right under that is the actual information that you would use to see if you won or not.
Mm.
It's printed on like on another layer. And then below that, there's another confusion layer where there's more random squiggles or patterns or words or whatever, symbols, what have you. And the diagram I looked at, there was like three layers of confusion or four layers of confusion layers. But the article just said multiple layers. So I'm sure that they do it to whatever they like. Like, it'd be really hard to cheat on these is what I get from this.
Yeah.
So the other thing, too, is that they print, like I said, several hundreds of thousands of these at once, if not millions. And once they're printed, they're boxed up and sent to a separate distributor. So that way, the distributor doesn't know which tickets are the winning tickets. The people printing them know because they have to come up with the designs. Then they hand it off to a distributor that then sends it out to random places.
Okay. So here's my question in all this that I need you to definitely give me an answer for immediately. Can you take a look at where it says Iowa Lottery on the one?
Yes.
And Iowa Lottery on the other?
Yeah.
One has a registered trademark logo next to it.
Yeah.
But they're two totally different logos.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I think there are different printers. It might be that.
So every printer has its own Iowa Lottery logo?
I don't know.
So I wonder who creates that if they are an Iowa-based lottery thing. Or if it's kind of like a franchise and you open up your own scratch-off ticket franchise and you file with Iowa Lottery.
I think that's what you do, because this one right here, the Super Crossword, it says it's printed in Canada, and the 7 is a Blast says nothing about that. So they're definitely two different people. And honestly, I'm willing to bet that this on the Super Crossword is an older logo, and the registered trademark one looks like a newer logo. So I'm wondering if it's just like they got the old branding or something, but it's definitely two separate vendors.
Who knew that lotto ticket not only in your country but like specific to your state could be from another country?
I get the impression that, because they talk about a lot about different vendors in these articles that I read that print these, and I get the feeling that based on how Koza and Bowers did it, that you just come up with it and then you go to these places and say, hey, do you want to use our scratch tickets? That's pretty much the history of scratch tickets and how they're made. That's all the interesting stuff. Now, do you want to know how to win at scratch tickets according to WikiHow?
Yeah.
This is going to be great. So the first step is to pick a price point and stick with it. The more expensive the tickets, and the article specifically says $5 and up, yield a higher win percentage.
Okay.
And the other thing is that you want to understand the odds of the game at your price point. And on the back, it'll tell you the odds of winning, and it took a really long time for me to find them, but it's right here on the back. This one towards the middle says each ticket has a 1 in 3.46 overall chance in winning.
Okay, so one of us might get something.
Yeah, and then on the other one it says 1 in 3.7 overall chance in winning. I think the $2 ones probably have like a 1 in 20 chance of winning or something like that. 1 in 100, it'll say right on the back.
Yeah.
So if you want a better chance of winning, then you can buy some or ask the clerk to look at them and look at the chances of winning. This is where WikiHow starts to get a little bonkers. It becomes the WikiHow we know and love. So they say, buy in bulk or stagger your buying, which to me sounds like the only two options.
You should buy a lot really quick, or you should buy like a few of them, but like every so often.
Yeah. The next part is hang out and wait for losers.
Which, I do that all day, everywhere I go.
Yeah, you just got so much time on your hand. You sit
I go outside the gas station and I go, look at this loser.
Look at this loser. It's interesting because when I was researching claw machines for my own personal research, I found out that they literally are coded to lose a percentage of the time. And most of the time, it's like a 1 in 15 chance. And the way that they code that in there is that they set the claw to only have enough pressure to actually grip something a certain percentage of the time.
Yeah.
So when I was looking up how to like be more successful at claw machine, it always said, watch for a long losing streak and then hop in there and try to get that chance that the computer is going to give you the pressure that you need to grip something.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
I knew it, though.
Yeah, everyone's like, it's got to be rigged. It is rigged.
Yeah.
But the other interesting thing, and I've told you about this before, is that every state has a regulation of chances of winning that claw machines have to follow. And the only example I found of this is that in Nevada, or Nevada, however you want to pronounce it, they have to be set to 1 in 15. And I couldn't find any other states. I wanted to see what Iowa was. So then the next step was to check and see prize levels before you buy a game. And that was really confusing to me. But what they meant to say, or the point that they're trying to get across, is that on here, it'll say, like, win up to $50,000. Or on this one, it says win up to 14 times. That doesn't really give... this one also says win up to $50,000. So each one of these, since they print them and they have the winning ticket, you can look up to see if anyone won that. And if they did, don't buy this ticket because you're not going to get that amount of money.
Oh, wow.
Which takes like way more research than I'm willing to do. But I mean, if you're going to do this long term and you're serious about it.
So they just don't reset the next day?
No. Wow. They don't just like wash them away. No. And it's actually not illegal to sell after the big winnings have been claimed.
That's dumb.
Yeah. And then the other thing, I didn't even put this in here, but this was part of their avoid common mistakes section on the page, was that avoid mystery packs where they'll like bundle old cards together because they might have been made a long time ago, like several months ago. The big winnings have already been claimed and they'll just put them in these cheap mystery packs to get rid of them. And you're definitely not going to win anything off of them, is what this article says. And my favorite thing was that they said examine the tickets before you play them, and then it cited the Canadian statistician that I told you about before and talked about how they cracked the code. I'm like, I'm not that smart. I'm not going to look at several tickets and try to figure out the serial numbers or the specific designs to crack a scratch ticket. Are you kidding me, WikiHow?
So how do they make the winnings look different? Like, what would be different?
So on the back, there's serial numbers. And actually, Jason, on our Facebook page, or Jace, who is also on an old episode, whatever you want to call him, I call him Jason, pointed out that some of them used to have, like, letters in their serial numbers.
Yeah.
And if they had, like, part of words spelled out, then you knew it was a winning ticket. Obviously, these ones don't have letters anymore because that's an easy way to crack it. But like if you look at the serial numbers, or there's this 3326 on the back, or like on these, there's layouts of words on the crossword one. So you can say like, I know that this configuration of words is a winning ticket because I know for a fact these super crossword ones are recycled a lot because I bought them like 5 years ago when I turned 21.
Yeah.
Because I don't drink, and what's the thing that you can do when you turn 21? You can buy scratch tickets.
Yeah, and pasta strainers. Yeah, think, right. Yeah. Oh, that's 18. You could order things off TV.
Oh yeah, my what are those knives called? I don't know what they're called. I don't care.
The George Foreman, Richard Simmons knives.
Richard Simmons knives.
Something like that. Someone
they're
from
very
that era.
Jazzercise-erific. Mm-hmm. What was I talking about?
They're called Jazzer Slice.
Nice. There it is. I don't even care what I was talking about anymore. We're done. But yeah, I'm not gonna sit there and study all these. And there's some pretty interesting myths out there that I wanted to cover, starting with Drew's.
Yeah.
Which is that they sent more winning tickets to poor neighborhoods, which I already kind of said isn't true, but I specifically tried to Google that to see if like any conspiracy theorists had any ideas.
Yeah.
Or any quote unquote evidence or whatever, but I couldn't find it corroborated anywhere, not even on Snopes. Like, they didn't even mention it on Snopes. However, I did find an article on ABC News that cited study from the lottery results, like their culmination of information, and it stated that it doesn't matter where you live, big city, small city, whatever, the way that they are produced and distributed is completely random. Doesn't matter where you live. And then in another article, I think it was on Business Insider, they cited a Reddit user that claimed to work in the industry, so take it with a grain of salt, but they said that there are no good or bad stores. Like, it doesn't matter where you live. Yeah, so the other thing that I want to talk about was that people seem to think that the lottery makes and keeps all the money. In 2015, they made $73 billion, and that'd be really tempting just to be like, okay, let's use this for the state. and to pay our vendors and blah, 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 right? But according to NASPL.org, which is where I got some of these next two myths and the answers to them, according to that website, 96% of the earnings made off of scratch tickets or the big lottery like the Mega Millions or Powerball or whatever, 96% of those are given back in the form of prizes. It might not be cash prizes, but they are given back in prizes.
Wow.
Back to the players. And then I think we've all heard that the lottery in general is a tax on poor people.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
Yep.
I think that's a really dismal way to look at it.
It's pretty, yeah.
So there's a couple studies that claim it's not true. And the NASPL points out, like I said, they made $73 million. And then they sort of tactlessly said, clearly the industry didn't achieve sales of that magnitude by focusing on low-income players. Oh, wait, that's exactly what they said. Doesn't that...
Wow.
That's not like how I would want to present that information. Like, we're not going to make $73 million off of poor people.
Yeah. Come on.
Good job, guys.
Who do you think you are, really?
So, they actually cited a study that found 44% of lottery players have incomes of $55,000 a year or more, and 77% of lottery players are above the poverty level.
Okay. And I would like to know what the social effect of where they're placed in a store has on people, because I want to know what their marketing team did. Where they get front real estate, they decide, you know what, we're going to sell lottery tickets, and they're going to be right next to the cash register and right in your face.
I think it's kind of a win-win for gas stations in general, because a lot of people just go to the gas station. Like, the grocery stores back in the 60s gave these out for free
because people would come
to their grocery store and spend money on their stuff. And I feel like the same thing goes, and these are incredibly popular, so the gas station is like, yeah, we're going to put them right up front where people are going to see them. And then the lottery is like, great, we'll drum up business and bring people into your gas stations.
Yeah. You know, I bought Lotto, like, a lot in the past couple of years.
Really?
Because of Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Desiree's father.
Go on, tell me about that.
So he would basically, I'd go and I would take care of him and go out and buy him stuff, or we'd go grocery shopping together. And every single time.
Did you explain who Kim is?
Yeah, Kim is my girlfriend's father.
Right.
So he would say, want Hot Lotto, Mega Millions.
Yeah.
What's the other ones? All or Nothing. And
then, I have no idea what they're called.
And there's one more. And he always forget.
Powerball.
Yeah, and he always get hung up on one of the last ones. And I go back and I bring him all. Like, cool, Mr. John. Cool, JB.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we would do that. And he would, like, sometimes remember to cash them in, but sometimes he would just keep them.
Yeah.
And he just had piles of them that he's never, like, brought in to get checked on.
Was he hoarding them?
Well, they didn't expire or anything.
Yeah.
When he passed, we took them all to the store, and we had maybe like literally 150 tickets.
Yeah.
And we made $30, I think.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
something like that.
In terms of scratch tickets, one thing that WikiHow did say is keep your losing tickets, because a lot of times they will have some sort of promotion for like replaying them online or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly how it works.
Yeah.
But,
or you could go in, I think, and get them scanned still. That's what we did.
Yeah. I just read on the back here, prizes over $600 must be paid by the Iowa Lottery. Because the other thing that, when I won $20, my brother was like, how do you get the money for that? I was like, you just go to the gas station. He's like, they give you the money? I was like, yeah. But not if it's over $600.
Yeah, so... I plan on taking that $600, opening up my own podcast factory.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little bit as a thank you.
Okay.
But yeah. It's time to take that cash and start a new life elsewhere.
Let's scratch these tickets right after this. So we'll scratch our tickets here.
Okay.
Look at this.
I got extra quarters.
I was ready. This
I'm
is
gonna
an
take
Easter.
Your quarter from you, and I'm going to give you an Easter egg that I find.
There's no Easter eggs.
I'm going to feel comfortable. Okay.
But before we scratch these, John, where can people find us?
They can find us on Facebook at Stranger Still.
And they can also find us on Twitter at Stranger Still.
And you can find us on StrangerStillShow.com.
That's where our episodes are hosted. You can check out our show notes there and stuff. And also leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll shout you out.
We will read your review if you write one.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this, we've been growing pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
Which is great. And the only reason that that happens is because of you guys sharing and telling people about it. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. So if you could keep that up, share it on your Facebook pages, uh-huh. share it on Twitter, wherever you're most comfortable.
We will call you out like we've done it before, and we'll keep doing it. If we catch you sharing an episode with one of your friends on
Facebook,
we will
hunt you down.
And we will shout you out
yep,
on our podcast.
And we'll give you hugs.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out on here. And if you retweet us, we'll probably follow you. And we'll probably, maybe we'll shout you out. That's a little bit harder for me to keep track of.
Yeah.
But please do that for us. That'd be really nice.
All right, so tell me how these work first.
Okay.
And then we're going to move our mics down so you can get the full
yeah,
effect.
Yeah. So the win seven, you have to match, you have your winning numbers up top here. It looks uh-huh. like there's four of them. So you scratch those off and uh-huh. figure out what your winning numbers are.
Okay.
And then you scratch the numbers down below here. If you match any of your numbers to the winning numbers, you win the prize shown for that number. So it'll say like, up here, the winning numbers will be like 2. And then if you scratch down a 2, it'll say 2 and then like $1 or whatever. And then if you reveal a big 7 symbol, win that prize instantly. Reveal the 7X symbol, win 7 times the prize shown for that symbol. So same sort of concept.
Uh-huh. And then... Uh-huh. So just scratch everything, right?
Just like, scratch it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like there's no strategy to it. So let's do that one first.
All right. Well, you're gonna hear it better.
Oh, sorry.
My mic.
Yeah. Oh, we're moving our mics down.
Oh yeah, we gotta get nice and close.
Okay. All right, my winning numbers are 8, 26, 25, and 9.
That means nothing to me. Mine are 16, 21, 4, and 26.
All right, so now we gotta scratch off your numbers down below. There's like 14 of them.
Okay. See, if you listen very carefully here, you can see that Nicholas and I have very different strategies, where he goes a little bit slower with his scratch
yeah.
To try to make the most of it and get better numbers. I'm more of a fast-paced, like, quick attack. Like, I'll do
like
one number
Pikachu.
At a time. Right, right, right.
Raichu can't learn quick attack, so he can't evolve him. And that's
okay,
how
well,
beats.
Not all of our listeners Raichu. Are big nerds as you.
Someone out there is going to be really happy I made that reference, uh-huh. okay?
Yeah, keep taking your time with those. I'm going
to
my
scratched
strategy.
Off more than half, and I have one absolutely nothing.
I think what I do while I'm doing this
yeah.
is I kind of scratch, and then I think, wow, that would be a lot of money to win. Wow, that would be a cool to win.
Yeah.
And then I learn the rules after.
Did you win anything?
I wouldn't tell you if it did, but no, not yet. $5.
Really?
Yeah.
Yay!
Look at that.
We got our money back.
Yeah, I definitely got my money back on that one.
Yeah, my money back.
I got your money back.
That's all we got for you. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This has been
Stranger Steel. I'm rich. Got myself a $5. I can't say it. It's a trademark.
$5 what? Footlong? I said it different than you, so then it's not trademarked.
Yeah. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm...
$5.
The snack that smiles...
$5.
And this is Stranger Still.